Fathers, a happy Father's Day. One of the greatest blessings I think you can have is to be a father. It's joyous and it's a blessing. It's a blessing that comes with great responsibility. It seems so many have forsaken that responsibility in this world. And Brother Russell said, I believe that's why we find ourselves in this country in the state we have. Daddies ain't being daddies no more. But not at this church. This church is home to a lot of good daddies. Our natural fathers, but also our fathers in the faith that have been role models and examples to us. They have took that responsibility wholeheartedly, and I'm thankful that I stand here today because of those fathers. The man I am today is a direct credit to those men that have led an example. But the example that they set was an example they followed in our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the greatest example that a father can give this morning. Is to show our children how to walk in the ways that the Lord would have us walk. My thoughts I have this morning, if you will, this morning, we'll turn to 2 Timothy in chapter 2. And I always find it interesting the relationship that the Apostle Paul and Timothy had. The Apostle Paul considered Timothy his son in the faith. And Paul was a father in the ministry to Timothy. And you'll find a lot of times that Paul prayed for Timothy. He gave him instruction. Chapter 2, we find such an instance. It says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You know, that's good advice. In this life, we need to, if you're going to make it, if you're going to have any peace, you've got to be strong in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2, it says, in the things that thou hast heard of me, among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Apostle Paul is telling Timothy, take the things that I've learned, that you've learned of me, that I've learned from the Lord Jesus Christ. Take them, apply them, pass them on to other faithful men. Don't just hold that in. That's what you've been given. Give freely. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. And just for a few minutes, I want to do what the Apostle Paul just said. I want to consider what he's had to say. It says to pass on those things which you have learned. And Paul's charging him here. It says, when you pass on these things, it says, in this life, it says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Now, who chose him to be a soldier? The Lord Jesus Christ. Now, from the verbiage and the context of this, you know, Paul is telling Timothy that there's going to be a fight. There's going to be a fight for the child of God in this life. You're going to be a servant of God, there's going to be a fight. If you recall last weekend, I talked to you about at the end of Paul's life, he says, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. You know, Brother James, he took those words to Timothy and taught me a little something maybe I didn't quite understand about that this past week. You know, I applied that last weekend as how Paul fought the fight, but not the fight itself. See, the fight you fight, the fight of faith we fight, it's a good fight. It's a good cause. The cause of Christ is a good fight to fight for the child of God. You know, over in 2 Timothy chapter 6, 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12, it says he charges Timothy to fight the good fight of faith. You understand that's a fight. If you're going to live a life of faith in this whole world, it's going to be a fight. You're going to endure some hardness. And Paul is warning Timothy of this. He's telling this. He said, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now he tells him about this fight. He says, no man that warreth, nobody that fights this fight, entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. You know, if you're going to fight a battle, if you're going to fight a fight, you know, it's better to fight it on one front. It's better to keep the enemy in front of you. It's better to be focused, not to get distracted by all the things going on in this life, but to be ever focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. To be focused on that battle. Don't get entangled with the old snares of this life. Look to the faith. Keep the faith. Fight the good fight. Why? That he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Why do we fight the good fight of faith? Because I want to please my captain, the captain of my salvation. That's why I want to fight a good fight of faith. I want to please him that has chosen me to be a soldier. Now it says, and if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. Now when you think about this fight, you think about a contest or a sport. It says, and if a man also strive for masteries, if you want to be good at something, you've got to strive for those things. But in a sport, you know, if you don't know the rules of the game, it doesn't matter how hard you fight. It doesn't matter how hard you fight. If you don't know the rules of the game, if you don't know the rules of engagement, then you're not going to fight a very good fight. I can run a race, but if I run in the wrong directions, it doesn't matter how hard I run. I'm running the wrong direction. I'm not running a good race. That's what Paul is telling Timothy here. He's giving him instruction on how to run the race, how to run the race, how to fight the good fight. And it says, the husband that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. You know, if you're going to tell other people how to fight that good fight, you better fight it yourself. You know, a husband, if he grows things, before he goes feed it to somebody else, he better partake of that fruit himself first. So he's charging Timothy here. You're going to be a servant of God. You're going to tell other people how to fight that fight. You better be fighting the same fight of faith yourself. You're supposed to be an example, Timothy. Now, if I'm going to fight a fight, you know, if you're going to play a sport, you're going to need to know the rules. You're going to need to know the rules of engagement. You're also going to need to know what equipment. What you're going to need to prepare yourself for that fight, for that sport, for that race. There's some things you're going to need. You need to know what those things are. Not only that, if you're going to fight a fight, you know, I like to know who I'm fighting. I like to know my opponent. You know, when I played football, we used to have whole scout sheets. And we'd prepare for that particular opponent every week. And if you prepare against the opponent, you'll be able to fight a better fight. You'll be able to fight a good fight. But we need to know how to fight that fight. We need to know the equipment we need to fight that fight. We need to know who we're fighting. If you will, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to find out what we need to fight that fight. And we're going to find out who we're fighting against. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Well, it's nice to know where your strength comes from, too. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Whatever power we have, it comes from him. We need to recognize that. So we are in need of God's power. In verse 11 it says, put on the whole armor of God. There's some things you need to fight this fight. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. There's our opponent. That's who we're fighting against. So we need that armor, and we need to know who we're fighting against. Our enemy is the devil. For verse 12, it says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual weakness in high places. There's your opponent, child of God. That's who we're fighting against. Verse 13, it says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. There's your equipment. That's what you need to fight this fight. You're going to fight a good fight, and you're going to need these things. It says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. You know where our righteousness comes from? We just talked about that. The righteous judge gave us that righteousness. He purchased it with his precious blood on the cross of Calvary. And then he clothed you and crowned you in his righteousness. You need to have that on. You need to know where it comes from. So when the devil says, how are you ever going to be made just? You're not good enough. You're not good enough. You know that the Lord Jesus Christ died for you and he imparted his righteousness to you. You say, devil, I know I'm not good enough, but my God is. That's where our righteousness comes from. Put that on your breastplate. Cover that with your heart. Because it'll protect you. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith. The shield of faith. What does faith do for us? When that old devil says, comes and talks to us and says, oh, the Lord's not coming back. Paul was fighting against some false doctrine over in Timothy that said the resurrection had passed already. When you hear those false doctrines, you say, I have faith. I have faith. I believe. I believe in the Lord God. I believe in Him. And not only do I believe in Him, but that which He has promised, He's able to perform. Just like old Father Abraham. So get away from me with that old false doctrine, David. I know my God. He's a faithful God. And He's able to perform that which He's promised. And he promised me the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. The resurrection hadn't passed already. And if you know these things, you can shield yourselves away from these false doctrines. It says, wherewith you should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the devil wicked. Whatever he's got to throw at you, faith shields you from it. You need that. I want you to know our God is able to perform that which he promised. And take the helmet of salvation. Take the helmet of salvation. I don't know if you've noticed everything, but the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the helmet, these are all defensive measures. They're all protective measures. You consider about the helmet, the salvation. Put on the helmet of salvation. When that devil comes and says, oh, you can't be saved. You're not good enough to be saved. You say, I know I'm not good enough to be saved, but the grace is free. I've been saved by grace. Not by my own works. I've been saved by grace. For by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. God gave it to you. If you know those things, you won't be able to let that old devil tell you lies. For you hold your head down. I tell you what, I'm standing today in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. I could stand against the devil with that work. Not with my own works, but with his work. Take the helmet of salvation. And now, in the sword of the Spirit. Now, we've got the breastplate of righteousness. We've got the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation. That's our defense, and here's our offense. The sword. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. How did the Lord Jesus Christ fight the devil? He fought him with the Word. When the devil quoted him Scripture, the Lord Jesus Christ preached it right back to him. And then at the end of it, he says, get thee hence, Satan. You need to know what this book says about your salvation, about your faith. You need to know these things. Because in these things you're able to knock away all those arrows. You're able to spear. You're able to cut through all the lies if you know this truth. That's our offense. You know, it's important to know what the Lord Jesus Christ said, what the Scripture says. Because I guarantee you the devil knows it. And he'll try to use it against you if you don't know it. He did the same thing to Jesus Christ. I remember one time my boss's wife was talking to me about one of her now ex daughter-in-laws. And she said, you know, Joe, I wouldn't have thought she would have done that to my son. She always went to church. She always read the Bible. She was always quoting Scripture. And without even thinking, I said, well, Miss Carolyn, I said, even the devil could quote Scripture. I said, he can. He knows it. You better know it. He'll try to use it against you. You need to know the truth. You need to be able to cut through those lies. And if you know this, if you use this sword, you'll be able to do that. So let's put on the whole armor of God that we might be able to warfare a good warfare. That we might be able to fight a good fight. I want to call your attention to this in verse 14. It says, stand therefore, having your loins, in verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So once you've put on this whole armor of God, I want you to know that you've done at that point all you can to stand. And then there's a commandment. Once you've done all to stand, the child of God's supposed to stand. It says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. You know, the child of God, once you put on this armor, once you put on this righteousness, once you've done all these things, it's time to make a stand. Too many of God's children aren't making their stand. The child of God is supposed to stand in His finished work. Stand in His righteousness. Stand against these things that the devil puts out there. We're supposed to be standing. We're supposed to be fighting a good fight. It's a fight. We're supposed to stand and fight now. Let's turn back to 2 Timothy. You know, Apostle Paul fought. He believed in fighting. In 2 Timothy, we'll turn back chapter 2. And we'll read from where we stopped. In verse 8 it says, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Now I think the brother the other night explained that with that my gospel is pretty good, you know. The gospel that Paul preached was Jesus Christ possible, but gospel. But I tell you, he took ownership of it. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ was his gospel. That's my gospel. I tell you, I want that to be my gospel, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this was his gospel. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffered trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. I want you to understand what happened to the Apostle Paul here. Apostle Paul was in prison. You know why he was put in prison? He was in prison for preaching the gospel. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. About 64 A.D., the Emperor Nero, and some historians believe half of the city of Rome burned. And they believe Nero instigated that. Instead of taking account of his own things, you know who he blamed it on? He blamed it on the Christians. These followers of Jesus Christ, it's their fault our city burned. And he was the one that instigated and burned the city. Isn't that something? These old rulers of darkness out here, they're the ones out here plotting and scheming, and then they blame it on the child of God. That doesn't sound familiar, does it? Not at all. This old world ain't changed. It's still the same fight. We're still fighting the same enemy. But Apostle Paul said, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even under bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Even when you found bondage in this old life, I want you to know the Word of God is not bound. No matter what state you find you in, the Word of God sets the child of God free because it tells you you are free. We've been made free through the Lord Jesus Christ. We're free from this old sin. We're free from this old bondage. Don't that make you fight a little better to fight? Can't you fight that a little harder if you know that the victory is already won? I tell you what, I can fight my fight. I can fight that good fight, that good cause, that fight of faith, because I know what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for me. Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even under bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure all things. Now, here's the why. Why do we fight? Why did Paul fight? Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even under bonds, but the God, word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure all things for the, for whose sake? For the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Why did Paul fight that fight? Well, let's notice a few things. It says, therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Now, this obtaining he's talking about, he says also. So that means Paul has already attained something, and he wants everybody else to attain the same thing that he's obtained. You understand what he was telling Timothy in that first verse is that when you've learned something, when you understand something, when God's given you something and you understand it, you preach it to them. You give it to them. You pass it on. I'm trying to do that this morning. The Lord's giving me a little light this morning. I'm trying to pass it on. I want you to know how good the Lord Jesus Christ is. I want you to know that fight you're fighting is worth fighting. It's a good fight. But Paul says, I want the others, for the elect's sake, I want them to attain the same salvation I have. Now that, like I said, that implies that Paul already had it. He told Timothy. Let's go back and read verse 12 of chapter 6 in 1 Timothy. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. When you fight the good fight of faith, that's why we do it, so we may lay hold on eternal life. Whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. How do we obtain it? You got to be called to obtain it. How are we called? How do we obtain it? Over in 1 Timothy verse 9. It says in verse 8, be not thou for ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Fight. Endure that fight. It's a good fight. According to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with an holy going. How are you called? How are you saved? The Lord Jesus Christ called you and saved you. He said, you have saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. Paul's not trying to get them to do some kind of works that they might obtain salvation. He's trying to tell them who obtained it for them. He says, and called us with a holy, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus. When? Before the world began. What did me and you have to do with it if that's when we got it? That's when we were called, if that's why we were saved? Not a thing. The Lord Jesus Christ obtained that salvation for you. In verse 10, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath what? And hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Paul wasn't worried about obtaining salvation. He was worried about pointing salvation. It says for the elect's sake. That's who this gospel applies to. It's to the elect. In chapter 2, it says, therefore, I endure all things for the elect, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. What was Paul in prison for? He said he gladly took on that. Because why? Because he would keep preaching the gospel. Because as many, because not all of the elect understood what their salvation and how they obtained it. He wanted them to know, and that's what the gospel does. That's why he wouldn't keep preaching it. He wanted to keep telling the Lord's people how this life and how this immortality came, how they attained it through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why we fight. It's a good fight. It's a good fight. That's why our ministers fight. They want the elect to know how they had that salvation, how they obtained it, who obtained it. But you know what? We don't only have hope in the Lord Jesus Christ in the next life, but we have life in this. Why else would we fight that good fight? Why else would we fight that good fight of faith? Well, what's the alternative? What's the alternative to not fighting the good fight of faith while we live here? We'll turn with me to we're going to go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. And we'll find two that didn't fight the good fight of faith. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18, it says, "This charge I commend unto thee, my son Timothy, according to prophecies went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good fare." Good warfare. Paul's telling him these things so he could fight a good warfare. It says, holding faith. Hold on to that faith. Fight that good faith. Because holding on to that faith and a good conscience. When we fight that good fight of faith, you know what one of the results of it is? We've got a good conscience. I tell you what, I sleep a lot better when I have a good conscience. I rest a lot better when I have a good conscience. When the child of God does what the Lord Jesus Christ tells him to do, I want you to know you live with a good conscience. That's one of the other benefits of fighting the good fight of faith. But it says, which some, having put away, some that put away that fight, some that didn't fight that fight, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. Child of God, when we don't fight that good fight of faith, you're in for shipwreck. That shipwreck means ruin. You think about these two, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander. You know what they were preaching? That the resurrection had been passed already. What a state to be in. What a state of ruin. What a state of shipwreck to believe that the resurrection was passed already. We're still looking forward to it. The Lord's coming back and He's going to take His people home. But what a state to be in. Ruin in this life. That's a personal benefit for fighting this good fight of faith. That we wouldn't make shipwreck. But you know what else your good fight of faith does? Turn back with me to 2 Timothy. And I'll close with this. Verse 21 in 2 Timothy, it says, "If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." You fight that good fight of faith, you purge yourself from these things that you're not supposed to be doing, it makes you meet for the master's use. It makes you good for His work. It makes you able to be a light in this whole world. It says, "Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity." I tell you, when you put on that whole armor of guard, it's time to stand and it's time to fight. It's time to put that into action. And charity is love in action. These are the things we're supposed to be putting into motion. It says, "Flee all, put away those things, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife." You know what living out in that old world causes the child of God? Strife. Heartache. And the servant of the Lord must not strive. The servant of the Lord is not supposed to be striving in this old world. And this is how we fight. Now this is how we fight the fight. This is how you're supposed to fight your fight. It says, "But be gentle unto all men. Apt to teach. Patient." You know, that seems contrary to a fight. You think of a fight and violence and everything. The child of God, we don't fight like other people fight. We're supposed to be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, and meekness. And this is the other benefit of fighting your fight, the good fight, to fighting the good fight of faith. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. We've got a lot of God's children that don't always fight the good fight of faith, that make error. And they've run into shipwreck. But the strong, you strong children of God ought to be fighting the good fight of faith just in case this might happen. In meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God, now you notice who it says, if God, peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. If God would use you to show others, to make them realize and acknowledge the truth, that what? Verse 26, "And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." You fight your fight. You be an example. That some of our brethren that fall by the way, that err from the commandments of God, might see the works that you were doing and might want to return and might avoid those snares of the devils. Teach them in gentleness and peace. Tell them, say, "Brother, That way ain't going to lead you to where you think it's going to lead you. That way is going to lead you to shipwreck. We try to exhort one another. That's why we fight this good fight of faith. It has a lot of benefits. It benefits personally. It benefits all those around us. Brethren, I exhort you to put on the whole armor of God. Study this word. Go out in that world and be a light. Be an example. Because the good fight of faith is a fight worth fighting. It's a good fight. The cause of Jesus Christ is a good cause to take up. That we might do good in this world while we live here. I thank you for your good honor attention.